You're listening to V&A Shipping, written and read by J.R. Murdoch. For more information, please visit ofgnomesanddwarves.com. Mike trembled. He had to resist the urge to lash out and finish off Vic. That wasn't part of the job at this time. Hiding in the cargo hold of, what had the boy called it? The Iron Butterfly? That wasn't part of the plan either. They were splitting up. June and Julie were integral to the plan, so he'd just have to make sure that the cruiser got back to the Acid Rat. Once they were taken out, it would be a simple matter to contact the boss. No matter what it took, Mike would have to make sure that Tootsie's transponder stayed on and got back on board the correct ship. Too much effort had gone into the series of events. Mike had to make sure they played out. First, he had to wait until they were off the ship. Vic would get suspicious if the cruiser didn't leave. Then he could spring out of the compartment and take care of June and Joey. They would never see it coming. Once they were out of the picture, he could fly back to the Acid Rat. With a stealth cruiser, Vic would never see the ship. Too perfect. Mike laughed softly to himself and settled in as the cruiser rose out of the Acid Rat.
"What exactly do you mean there's another ship?"
Justice demanded.
"I mean, besides all the local police down there, and there's a lot of them, there's another ship fleeing with the SS Acid Rat."
Justice eyed the reporting officer suspiciously. The viewscreen confirmed the report. A small black cruiser sped away from the SS Acid Rat.
"Who's on board the new target?"
"Looks like there are four entities on board."
"How many are in the crew of the SS Acid Rat?"
"Checking."
The officer called up a display.
"At last report, there were six crew members."
"So, it looks like two are making a getaway."
This was a tough call. Justice wanted the captain, but having the SS Acid Rat and a few crew members would do just as well.
"Keep track of the cruiser, but stay on the Acid Rat."
"Yes, sir."
The smaller vehicle would be easy enough to capture. Nothing that small could travel alone for any great length. It'd remain on radio, and the local authorities could pick it up at any time. Still, something wasn't right.
"Sir, the cruiser is increasing in elevation."
"What are you doing?"
Justice watched the viewscreen showing the black cruiser heading skyward. The little ship might be able to make a short jump off planet, but it'd never leave the system. It wasn't possible.
"Where are they going? Are they in tractor beam range yet?"
"They're steering away from us. We're staying on the SS Acid Rat, and that's keeping the smaller ship out of range."
"Can you get any identifying marks from the ship?"
"I've got the ship's signature."
"Keep it. We may need it to track them down later, in case they meet up with a convoy and get out of the system."
"Yes, sir."
Justice tapped his riding crop on his leg.
"Why the ruse?"
"Sir, the ship is reaching the atmosphere. I'm detecting a hyperdrive charging."
"What? That ship is too small to carry a hyperdrive."
"I'm not questioning that, sir, but sensors indicate..."
The officer's jaw dropped.
"It jumped into hyperspace."
BT Justice hit the officer with his riding crop.
"How did that little ship make the jump? Where is it headed? Find out, now."
Gasps caused Justice to turn around.
"What is it?"
"The SS Acid Rat. It just disappeared."
"It's not nearly big enough to carry a cloaking device."
"That may be, sir, but it's no longer on our view screens."
"Can we get a visual on the ground?"
The SS Acid Rat was gone. All the police cruisers had slowed to a crawl.
"No, sir. It's gone."
"Sweep the area. Project the course of the small cruiser as well. It's got to still be in the system. It wasn't big enough to leave. Couldn't have made more than a 30-second jump."
"Sir."
The officer cowered away.
"What?"
Justice narrowed his eyes to slits, his brow creasing in anger.
"Both ships are gone. The smallest ship's heading shows... it's headed en route to the radio blockade."
"That'd take it out of the system."
Justice's spine straightened and his heart sank as he turned back toward the viewscreen. He'd been duped. He'd been duped by the simplest of tricks. They'd swapped transponders. He had to act quickly.
"Ignore the SS Acid Rat. I want you to follow the cruiser."
"But sir..."
Justice smacked the man.
"Don't question me."
The officer changed headings. Another officer stood up. "Sir, GCP Central Office wishes to speak with you. It's Counselor Petrine."
"The counselor can be damned. Hang up on him and get me Sheriff Esconso. He's the sheriff here on Rado, and he owes me a favor.
More than a favor. Sheriff Escanso owed Sheriff Justice his life. Finding the ship had taxed Justice's patience, and Escanso had additional police cruisers available. Nothing that would compare to the Apprehension, but big enough to make an impression on this pesky crew. A tinge wrinkled Justice's left eye. He had to capture this ship, and he had to do so quickly. The counselor would call back. Only when he saw the police cruisers fall away did Joey deign it plausible to start breathing again. Dizziness overwhelmed him, but he didn't pass out.
"Is that your problem?" June asked. "You stop breathing when you get stressed."
She asked it so calmly, so coolly, as if this entire episode followed normal guidelines for working with Vic.
"I've only been here a short time. This is all new to me."
"When it was all new to me, I didn't pass out at every opportunity." Joey pointed at an approaching building and gasped. June casually went around the building.
"Honestly, Joey, you need to learn how to relax."
"I'll relax when my feet are back on solid ground."
"You want to land?"
"No." June laughed.
"Joey, relax. Breathe. Everything is going to be all right. Vic's plan is working."
Joey looked up. The massive police cruiser, blue and gold, reflecting the sun, veered away. All the Rado police had stopped and given up pursuit. Just as Vic had explained it, the ships had solid steel hulls and image screens that translated everything, and ships were translated by transponder signals. When they turned off Tootsies, they effectively disappeared. Of course, they could have turned off the transponder signal on the Acid Rat, but it wasn't a stealth vehicle, and therefore a suspect to radar probing. They would have been found eventually.
"So, what now?"
"We wait for a little while."
"For what?"
"Well..." June set the cruiser to hover.
"We need to wait until we know we're no longer being pursued. Then we'll get on the line and find out who's heading out and join them."
"What do you mean?"
"I mean, this little ship can make a hyperspace jump, but nothing far. We need to find a convoy that's heading out, and we make the jump to hyperspace. But we'll be sucked along in their ebb and be able to travel farther."
"Oh." What June said made no sense whatsoever. No way he could let her know that. He didn't want to appear stupid.
"You didn't understand anything I said, did you?"
She smiled. So much for not looking stupid.
"No." "Don't worry about it. It took me a long time to catch on to all this stuff."
She pulled out something that looked like a pack of crackers.
"Hungry?"
Seeing the food made his stomach rumble. He couldn't deny that he was.
"Very."
June opened the pack and offered it to Joey. They tasted sweet, like graham crackers. He closed his eyes and thought of home. What had his mom and dad thought when he never came back home? What would they think of him now? Sitting in a sleek ship that looked like something Brad, Chad, and Thad would be driving, and floating billions of miles from home over a strange planet. He wanted to smile, but found it difficult.
"Come on, Joey."
June pushed a cylinder of water into his hand.
"I know it's tough, but you need to hang in there. I've been here for 5 years now. It does get easier."
Joey thought about that. He still had trouble grasping the fact that he was way in the future and everyone back on Earth long dead.
"I want to see Earth."
"What?"
"I want to go home. I have to see it."
"Why? What good will that do?"
"I know Vic doesn't want to go, but I think all this will feel more real if I see it."
"Well, that's something that'll have to wait, and you're going to have to convince Vic on your own."
"No, not with Vic. Just you and me. I want you to take me back there."
June opened her mouth to say something, but refrained. She looked away and off into the distance.
"It's not that easy."
"What's not that easy?"
"I need to see it, June. You must under—"
"No, not that. Getting to the planet is easy. Getting Vic to let us go. He's a nice guy, Joey, and he really does think he's doing the best he can. But he's—" She turned back to Joey.
"Overprotective."
"Why? He's not my dad."
"No, he's not."
She put her hand on his. Joey's pulse quickened. He swallowed hard. He looked into her green eyes and felt everything start to melt away. He wanted to touch her face, feel her blonde hair on his hand. He wanted to kiss her.
"Joey, it's that he feels responsible for us being here."
Reality came back too quickly.
"Why?"
"I'm not sure why. I just know. It's that psychic thing I got when I got here. He feels guilty, I guess. Something his father built sent us here into space, instead of leaving us back on Earth to lead regular lives." He hadn't thought of that. Of course Vic would feel responsible. That's why he had tried so hard to make Joey feel part of the crew and keep his mind off of where he was and what he was doing. Joey's eyes widened and he stared at June. She couldn't know how he felt about her. Pangs of panic struck him.
"What is it?" she asked. "What's wrong?"
"Nothing. I think we need to get going."
He moved his hand away from hers.
"Joey, talk to me. What is it?"
Joey stuffed a cracker into his mouth. They didn't taste very good anymore. He tried to take a drink of water and started choking. June sighed.
"Well, we'll have a lot of time to talk about it, I guess. We've got a long trip back to Clanchar. Let's hope that Vic and Argmon make it back in time."
Joey thought of something.
"June, how do they search the ships that pass through the blockade?"
"They check the transponder signal from the ship. They compare that signal and do a scan of the ship to check its contents."
"Why?"
"Tootsie, what is this ship carrying?"
Tootsie beeped.
"Current load, 550,000 cases of beer."
June looked wide-eyed at Joey.
"We're in a stealth cruiser. They're going to want to search this ship."
"And didn't you tell me that Tootsie's crew was wanted?"
"Oh, crap. We're going to have to go around."
June's face twisted.
"Tootsie, can Vic unload the ship without you on board?"
After several whirs and chirps, Tootsie said,
"No. My programming locks down the ship. When you left the acid rat, I was able to open the cargo doors and close them again. But the programming from this ship doesn't allow for that. Vic and the rest will be locked on the ship until we arrive."
June groaned.
"Vic just lost his bet."
"Well, not really. His transponder will allow him to pass through the blockade, right? It shows he's not carrying anything."
"Right. So he can make it there in time. But what about us?"
"We show we're loaded with beer. We have to go around. We can't get there in time."
"I have an idea. Can you find us a convoy?"
"I should be able to."
June set to work contacting local shippers. Joey had to get someone to think his idea would work. He just had to. Even if he only had a theory, it was worth a shot. Hopefully nothing else would go wrong on this trip. Vic threw up again. The jump to hyperspace messed up his system. Actually, it was the combination of poison, anti-venom, and the jump to hyperspace, but he didn't want to think about that now. He'd have enough time to deal with it once they made it back to Planchar. At least with Argmon driving, Vic could relax. Jupnop tapped along the floor and into the bathroom.
"Jupnop, thanks for coming and keeping you company."
Jupnop clicked two branch appendages together. Something in the slime of its body had a bark appearance and the initial formation of a mouth. It opened and closed like a fish gasping for breath. It was trying to tell Vic something.
"What is it, Jup? Are you hungry? You can't eat me."
One of the branches lashed out and smacked Vic on the arm.
"Hey!"
Again, the mouth opened and closed. On the third attempt, Vic could hear something. It sounded like Mike.
"Are you trying to say Mike?"
Jupnot's sticks waved up and down vigorously.
"Is Mike still on the ship?"
The sticks waved from side to side. What then? What was Jupnop getting at? As if in answer to that question, a protrusion of slime jutted from Jupnop's body and encircled Vic's wrists and pulled.
"You want me to follow you?"
The mouth gaped, and the sticks waved up and down.
"Jup, I'm not in the best shape. I don't know— Ow!"
The tendril of slime had tightened.
All right, if you insist."
Vic struggled to his feet. His head swam back and forth, and his balance faltered, but he kept to his feet.
"Lead on."
They went down through the cargo bay and back to the engineering room, the room Mike spent a majority of his time alone. Until Mike's attack, this wouldn't have been suspicious, but in the light of recent events, this did appear odd behavior, especially being that the rest of the crew had such outgoing personalities.
"What is it, Jupnop? I think I need to go lay down."
Jupnop pointed to Mike's funnel web. Vic looked at the webbing and shook his head.
"Sorry, little guy. That just ain't gonna happen."
Jupnop whacked the back of Vic's legs.
"Hey!"
It pointed at the web again.
"Fine. If it'll make you feel better, I'll get on that chair and look inside. Will you leave me alone, then? There's nothing in there. I hope you know that."
A farting noise escaped Jupnop.
"Nice."
Vic steadied himself on the chair. Mike's funnel web sat just a few feet off the floor. Raising his arms over his head brought a wave of pain.
"I can't do it."
Jupnop clicked and clacked disappointment and urged Vic to look.
"Fine, but you're dragging me back up to the bathroom once I do this."
Vic reached up into the funnel web. He really didn't want to touch it. The last time he touched one of Mike's webs is something he'd never be able to forget. Mike plunging down with that rabid look. Vic shuddered. Getting his hands up proved to be the most difficult part about getting into the web. His legs worked just fine. To his surprise, the funnel web wasn't sticky. Mike had built it some time ago, but Vic had just assumed it'd be sticky. It wasn't.
The texture was smooth to the touch and had easy handholds. Climbing into it was a snap. Vic proceeded slowly. Something had to be in here. Jupnop's insistence, unnerving as it was, couldn't be for nothing. Deep inside the funnel web, all lights stopped. Mike's webbing skills were impressive. Vic had expected it to be dirty inside, but it was so clean, disturbingly clean. Mike slept in here. Sometimes he ate in here. He practically lived in the web. Yet it looked clean as if no one had ever been inside of it. Something caught Vic's eye. A square depression deep in the rear of the web. He crawled toward it. The dim light made it difficult to see, but obviously something had been sitting there. Something square.
Jupe!
Vic waited for a response, but he knew he wasn't going to get one.
Jupe, there's nothing up here. But there was. Do you know what Mike had up here?
Vic shook his head. Why did he bother? He made his way out of the web and sat in the seat. Jupnop's mouth opened and closed, but no discernible sounds emitted.
I hate to say this, but I don't think there's anything I can do about it. Mike's not here, and whatever he had up there is gone as well.
Jupnop appeared to deflate. Again, the mouth tried to form words. Vic watched and tried to figure out what Jupnop tried to say. Finally, something came out.
Call.
Call? You want me to call someone? Jupnop clacked and shook its branches.
Call.
Call what? Call who?
Oh, no. Are you saying that Mike called someone from up there?
That had to be it. That had to be what was missing from Mike's web. Mike had somehow gotten a communication box on board and kept in touch with someone from the outside. Jupnop excitedly danced about.
Thanks, buddy. Vic shook one of Jupnop's branches. Tootsie! Tootsie!
No response came. He'd forgotten he'd swapped out Tootsie with the Iron Butterfly. He didn't even know the name of this one. If Tootsie had been on board, she'd be able to recount all of Mike's communications. Until he was reunited with Tootsie, he'd have to wait. Who the hell had Mike been talking to?
No! The Iron Butterfly stealth shielding. It would keep Tootsie's sensors from penetrating and discovering anything inside. Mike, who had not left the ship, must have stowed away inside. Mike was with June and Joey, and they didn't know it.
Vic's face paled. How could he get in touch with them to warn them? He and Argmon were almost upon the barricade. They had 4 heavy police cruisers in hot pursuit. June could handle herself if all they needed to do was get back to Planchar. But with Mike on board, that cramped little ship, they were in danger. He tried not to think about losing the money, but that panged him as well. He had no choice. No choice at all.
Argmon, turn us around. We've got to go back and pick up June and Joey.
The storage compartment inside the cruiser forced Mike to remain in a tight, cramped position. He ground his teeth in frustration. He could hear soft murmurs from June and Joey, but since they had left the atmosphere, the engines drowned out most of their conversation. He had to wait for the right moment to come out. If he was lucky, they'd go to sleep. June had been searching fruitlessly for a convoy to join. Mike would have better luck. He could get a hold of the boss. The boss. Mike hadn't contacted the boss. Last time they spoke, everything was going as planned. Things were definitely not going as planned. Maybe the boss would know what to do. Mike turned on the communication box. A soft light glowed from its interior.
Boss,
Mike said softly, almost a whisper. Soft static filled the delay before the response came. Mike jumped and turned the volume down.
Report. There's been an incident. What happened?
The boss's tone was flat, but not scolding.
I bit Vic.
Mike closed his eyes during the long pause.
Is he dead? No. Good. Can you recover from the situation? Well? Well, what? I need to know what's going on board the SS Acidrat. You are my eyes and ears. What's happening? I'm not on board anymore.
Again, a long pause.
Where are you? Vic had a stealth craft. I hid inside after biting Vic. June and Joey have left in it. They did it to allow Vic to evade the police. Are they headed back to the SS Acidrat now? I don't know. I don't think so. They have limited hyperdrive abilities. They're trying to find a convoy to meet up with to get back to Planchar. I can make that happen, but it'll take time. Are you still near Rado? Yes. How can I locate the craft? I can turn on the beacon inside the communication box. Very good. do so, I will get a convoy to accidentally arrive in that area. Once you know the convoy is in range, you will do away with the boy and the girl. Do you understand? Yes, there can be no more mistakes. I understand, boss.
The box went dead. Mike heaved a heavy sigh of relief and smiled. The boss wasn't angry. There was still hope to salvage the situation. And he'd get to kill. Soon. His smile widened further. He was going to kill. Kill! Kill! Mike switched on the beacon. And waited.
Sir, Counselor Petrine left a message for you. It's marked most urgent.
Pompous, arrogant son, the last thing he needed now was a message. Once again, they'd lost the SS Acid Rat. Once again, they floated in the middle of the galaxy looking for it. This time, active radar drones had been deployed. Soon enough, they'd know where they'd gotten off to.
Sir?
Justice snapped, the veins in his head pulsing.
I heard you. I'll listen when I'm good and ready.
He held the riding crop high to hit the officer.
Daddy, sir, do you need a hamburger?
If you weren't my son, I'd slap you so hard your mother will wish you weren't born.
He lowered the riding crop.
Play the message on the main viewer.
Yes, sir.
Petrine's smug smile sent a chill up BT Justice's spine. That smile couldn't be there for any good reason.
Sheriff Justice, we've had a report that your ship, the Apprehension, has been spotted in the radio system. You are hereby ordered to stay in the radio system until an escort can arrive and return your ship to your own system. Once there, you will be placed under arrest. If you choose to leave the radio system, it had best be to head back to your own system.
Petrine's image faded out.
That's it? Petrine wants me to just give up chase and head home? No deal.
Sir, message from Sheriff Esconso.
Why couldn't there just be a report that the SS Acid Rat had been located?
Put it on, viewer.
Sheriff Justice, we need to talk. In private.
Officer, put the call in my room. I'll pick it up there. Junior, come with me.
Once Justice returned to his room, the call was put through.
Yes, Sheriff Esconso.
Drop the formality, Buford. We've got a situation here.
Well, Alex, what do you propose?
I propose that we return to our respective systems and drop this chase.
Do you? I seem to recall that you had your ass over a barrel and I helped you out. You're telling me that you're not in the mood to find one little criminal?
That's exactly what I'm saying, Buford. This isn't a life-or-death situation. I looked up the Acid Rat. It's small time. Very small time. Everything they've done over the past 6 or 7 years amounts to chump change in terms of galactic economy. Do yourself a favor. Return home and let this one go.
That's easy for you to say. You didn't have a small-time crook sneak away from you right under your nose. This bastard is going down, Alex. He's going down.
Look at yourself, Buford. You're obsessed. You need a vacation.
I'll take one when I get that bastard in jail.
You'll have to do it without me, Buford. I'm going back to Rado. The load of beer they stole isn't worth me losing my job and putting my fleet at risk. I'm sorry. We're going home. You really should do the same.
BT Justice slammed his hand down on the comm button and turned it off. He was alone once again. Last time he'd save a fellow officer's life.
Junior!
Junior rushed over.
We need to find this ship. We need to find it now. We're running out of time. I've never asked this before, but have you got any ideas?
Junior looked like a gasket broke loose inside his brain, the prospect of helping overwhelming.
Well, we can deploy drones.
We've deployed drones, and they're sweeping the area with radar.
No, that's not what I mean. I mean, we can deploy drones and have them wait along any path the ship might take. We followed the trail here, and it stopped, right here in the middle of space. The only place they could have gone was back to Rado, along the same path. If that's true, they'll have to follow another path back to Planchar.
The boy was a damn genius.
Thanks, Junior. Why don't you get me a drink and meet me back up on the bridge?
Sure,
Junior smiled. Now to get to the bridge and place the orders. They were going to head back to Rado. If they were lucky, one of the drones would pick up the passing SS Acid Rat. As soon as they got that signal, the drones could stay in silent pursuit. He wasn't going to lose them again. If worse came to worse, he could blow their ship up.
At least then he'd be secure in the knowledge that he'd taken care of them. Once they were taken care of, he could worry about how to deal with Petrine. One thing at a time.
You've been listening to V&A Shipping, written and read by J.R. Murdoch. For more information about this podcast and its author, please visit ofgnomesanddwarves.com. V&A Shipping is released under a Creative Commons, Attributions-Only, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives Works 3.0. Feedback can be sent to jrmurdoch@ofgnomesanddwarves.com, or you can find me at Twitter or Facebook as J.R. Murdoch. There's a lot of podcast fiction out there. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this one.